you take note of these things, and you go ask one after everybody's had an opportunity. And remember, I'm again being reminded that it's you are reminded that you have only one bite at the cherry. Prof.
It's a small thing, Chair. I don't know whether I can speak on 25.2. Yeah. The sentence that says this points to the board and all its subcommittees failure to exercise effective oversight. Towards the end, the sentence says in relation to matters of financial and human resource management. Now, the topic is about human resource management. I would have wished that human resource comes first before financial matters to strengthen the context.
Any other taken? If not, just if we go back, honourable members, to the letter that we've received. You know, I'm not sure if you the second letter that we received was almost almost an assumption that we're reading those judgments incorrectly. If you read the letter, I'm not saying we need to agree or not with the letter. Majabu. I'm asking that question because we're saying here who had an adverse finding now by the courts. Now, I that's what I thought it was, an adverse finding. But if you read that letter, it's almost put in question that no, it's not actually that, it's suspension and so on. I'm just asking the question, must we be so, or do we say a finding by the court? I'm not sure how we put it, but if we, I don't feel strong in it either way. Yeah, that is on 25.12. If we're comfortable that is what the court's ruling can be interpreted as from our side, then I'm comfortable with it. I'm just asking the question in light of the correspondence that we received today. That's just my addition. But let's leave it to Killian. You've heard some of the comments that members have made. You basically stick to the point that we should add your third bullet point.
Chairperson, if I'm in the minority, then obviously it's not going to fly. But I would have suggested. You see, if we speak of almost all levels, it's not as serious. Well, it is serious, but you know, we're talking of senior management positions. We're talking of positions that should go through specific processes, and I mean, there is a differentiation. So clearly, it is a matter of great concern. And if we are getting people who are in acting positions, just assuming, that is what Honourable Mashlangu has also said. So if we should not specify the company secretary, then we can leave it, but then we must refer to people in senior positions, in the executive positions or in management positions. I would have suggested the company secretary. You will recall, Chairperson, that we got company secretary correspondence at the beginning of the process. And thereafter, we, at the conclusion of our process, there's a new company secretary who appointed that person. So, if we say, did we have evidence to that effect? Yes, we did. And Honourable Waters or somebody asked a question. We certainly have evidence to that effect, that they were changing of individuals in specific positions before us.
Can I just go back to 25.11, honourable members? If we read the sentence, and if you took out the words across all levels, just took it out totally, a number of irregular appointments and dismissals within the SABC, and we take out across all levels, then it takes away the fight, isn't it? Okay. What are we saying about specific reference to the position of company secretary? Just on that one. Yeah. 1, 2, and 3.
Well, Chair, the company secretary gets appointed in terms of the company's head. So he does not necessarily form part of the normal staff of the SABC. Therefore, mentioning that position therefore becomes crucial. It's a standalone position.
Yeah, Chair, I think we should mention, it's an important position, we should mention that. But just while I'm on the floor, I think we must also mention Mr. Motsaneng's name, because he is certainly quite central to this entire thing. So.
And then, Dr. Kota, I think you're
there. Chair, my view is that if we are going to be mentioning the names, we have to mention at least all the key individuals that came before us. That's the bottom line. Because if we are going to be mentioning Motsaneng, then we are inconsistent. You understand? Whilst I understand the position of the company secretary, because there is a special legislation to how a company secretary should be appointed, but if it's really the other staff members, I would recommend that we possibly mention all of them. Because how do you leave some of them out?
Thanks, Chair. Maybe up there where we have mentioned the logo, we need to put in something which says including but not limited to the appointment of the company secretary, so that we cater for what Honorable Khoza is raising.
You're adding it to 2.5.1?
In 25.1.2, Chair, because there we have mentioned the position of the COO, and saying let's find a way of expressing there that it was not that possession of the COO only. It includes, but not limited, to the appointment of the company secretary.
Yeah, Chair, you know, early on you said we must be able to live with this document and bite the bullet, and we should not obfuscate. I mean, the fact of the matter is, who are the other people that we are referring to that we have not mentioned in name? I don't think that anybody was the subject of a court order with an injunction that what the board did was wrong in terms of the appointment, and also the subject of a public protector finding. And I see no harm why we should not mention Mr. Motsaneng, because he is the person, whether we like it or not. You know. So it will just strengthen our recommendations, I think, when we make this observation, because it arises from a court order and a public protector's finding. So I support Honourable Waters.
Persuaded, Chair.
All right. So that 25.1 will have three bullet points. 1.1, 1.2, and 1.3 that talks to the company secretary. Is that what you're saying? Is that how you have it? Or are you going to include it somewhere? Okay. No. We'll use both. Okay. Do we want it as a standalone, or can we include it in 2.2, honorable members? Let it as a standalone, the company secretary position. Standalone. Thank you. Anything else on 25.1? No? Excuse me. I'm sorry. 25.2, 2.1 and 2.2. Again, I was going to do what I think Mr. Swartz is going to do, but let me start with you, Swartz. So maybe I'm preempting. Say again, sir?
No, okay. I was just going to suggest 25.2.1 Professor Maguva went to the extent of expressing ignorance of their labour dispute, did he not also express ignorance of the threats, that he wasn't aware that there were threats? So it's not only, I think I put those specific questions to him, if I remember correctly, expressed ignorance of the threats and the labour dispute.
No, I didn't. I was anticipating another one that you would know. Oh, sorry.
And then the SABC says that they considered these threats in a very serious light and recommended that the members report it to the police. And then they said we'll go to a wellness centre, which is ridiculous to me. I mean, that doesn't provide security. Mr. Motswaneng and others can have security. I don't think. But I think we've covered it here by saying they made no meaningful intervention. They refer to a wellness centre is not a meaningful intervention, in my view. Although they do say they considered it seriously, but they never really took it very seriously. Yeah, so I'm happy with the wording there. And the next one is 25.22, where I think the SABC says they're not aware of any involvement of the SSA, which would conflict with other evidence. So I think it correctly captures just for that one slight change that you have. Thank you.
Should we not be, as you have always, and I say you are talking, maybe you should say we, should we not be saying, notwithstanding the fact? Let's take the first one. We agreed there was no meaningful because we are putting our colours to the mast, notwithstanding the fact that there was a wellness attempt or whatever the case might be. We don't have to put it if it's not there. Yes? Because I'm trying to do what you were saying, but let's take your point.
I think if we should capture the fact that they said they can go to a wellness centre.
They didn't.
No, we should. We should capture it because it shows such disdain for the severity of journalists being physically attacked and intimidated. And it makes an absolute mockery of it. So I think we need to put it in to strengthen our case, quite frankly. Okay, while I've got the floor, Chair, just on that, on 25.12,
I think 25?
Where are we? No, 25.21. So where are we?
21.22.
Where's the physical? Yeah, 25.21, sorry, Chair. The last sentence, the attacks and acts of victimisation continued throughout most of the inquiry. When we say the attacks, are we talking about physical attacks, verbal attacks? I mean, we were told, because we were informed about one, I think Ms. Fissa being physically, Ms. Fenta being shot at with a pellet gun, or an air rifle, whatever it was. So I think we need to put there the physical attacks, if everyone's in agreement. And acts of victimisation continue to happen. I think it just strengthens the case. Thank you.
The Honourable Dr. Khosa and then Prof.
Chair, there is a point that I think we have missed under irregular, probably more on, especially when it comes to the way, probably more on the dismissals than appointments. I just want to read this and members can say where they wanted to put it. That committee notes the high staff turnover, especially at top management levels, full stop, despite SABC arguing for gross wrongdoing on some of these senior and top staff management. They were all paid out. I want to bring that element of them being paid out. They are saying they committed gross wrongdoing. But all of them, without fail, they were paid handsomely. They got golden handshakes. Yeah. And that speaks again, this matter to me is very important because it also speaks to the financial management of SABC, but it's also about how human resources are managed at SABC.
No, I think members get the sentiment, but that's the one before. We'll go back to that one, there's no problem. around victimization, we covered with the points that have been made now, are we? You captured that.
Yeah.
All right, let's go back to Dr. Kosa's one. She's suggesting we include the dismissals, although they say...
First of all, it's the high staff turnover, especially at top management level. Then that's full stop. Then despite ACDC arguing for gross wrongdoing on the part of some of these senior and top management staff, they were nevertheless given golden handshakes.
I'm happy with that. So that will be additional to 25.1. Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Are we now moving to 25.2.2? Okay, can I just ask the following, or suggest the following? I would like to suggest that we do this, the second sentence as follows. This irregular use of the State Security Agency resources is a matter of concern, full stop. And then we start a new sentence because the two ideas don't really belong together. The next one relates to the vetting of people in senior positions. I would then suggest that we start separately with a new sentence to say, in addition, neither senior managers or in addition, the executive members and board members were not vetted as is required. Just full, as is the requirement, yeah. It is a requirement, yeah. I think it's important that we just separate the two issues. The one is the involvement of the State Security Agency. The other one relates to the law.
I think that's fair. Suggesting that, separate sentences or separate paragraphs. Are we on, where are we talking to now? Which one are we talking to? No, I'm not seeing the hands, I'm thinking of the hands. You're responding to 25.2. Yes, sir, and you, 25.2 as well. All right, let's take yours, sir.
I support the new paragraph check, but the location should not be here. It should be somewhere else, either on 25.1. Because it's a procedure of appointment and not a victimization or intimidation subject.
The one,
yeah.
The one
that she's killing, yeah.
I agree with you, Honorable.
No, I wanted us to, within that line, Chair, that is proposed on the vetting, that maybe we highlight the point of SABC being classified as a national key point, which necessitates, obviously, the vetting of senior executives, rather than just leave it there as required. Maybe we add that in view of the fact that SABC has been classified as a national key point.
Thanks, Chair. No, I'm not doing anything new. I wanted to write on what Honorable Matlang was saying, to say let's put the vetting as a new 251.2.
All right. So it will remain 2 points because the other one goes to the top to HR, isn't it? Okay. And then 26, that's 25, we can move on, eh? Thank you. 26, that's page 73, 26.1.1 and 26.1.2. So if you speak, you speak to both of them, and we'll come back afterwards to additions, if anything. Can we take Honorable Swartz and then Honorable Singh?
Chair, just at the beginning, it says, as is evident from the report presented by the Public Protector. Now, that's confusing. I would suggest it is evident from the evidence. Because remember, we're now referring to the Public Protector Mkubani that came before us and gave evidence that the board went to great lengths to avoid implementing. or are we referring to the report that we got from the public protector and the evidence? I think it's both. So it's evidence. Because if you just refer to report there, then it's very confusing. There's the initial report. So I would suggest, I don't think you should say as is evident from the evidence, but anyway, as is evident from the evidence, the board went to great lengths to avoid implementing the public protector's remedial action, full stop. They instead relied on a legal opinion by a firm of attorneys which sought to trump the findings of the public protector, full stop, which sought to trump the findings of the public protector. In fact, it's the remedial findings of the public protector, full stop. Then it goes on to say, in a similar vein, it had failed. That doesn't make sense. In a similar vein, the board failed to ensure, and it goes on to the end of the sentence. So it's in a similar vein, the board failed. Cindy? Sorry, that's my suggestion, Chair. And then, at the end,
what we did?
Yeah.
The board?
It's just to remove it.
Yeah.
Had. You just say the board
failed to ensure compliance.
The rest stays the same. With the ICASA's ruling with regard to the decision not to provide protest. But what's happened now is this has resulted in ICASA laying criminal charges against the SABC. Is that not the case? There's a criminal case. Am I? That's it. This has resulted in ICASA laying criminal charges against the SABC. Full stop. And then the next paragraph, we just need to insert the second line, almost 2 years after what report? It's the public protector's report was released, decided, they didn't agree, they decided to take the report on review. So to insert the public protector's report and to replace agreed with decided.
Thank you very much. We'll have another bite at it. We'll do our best to
happiness,
capture.
Chair.
No, I'm just saying happiness.
No, there's still two hands on the side. Prof and then, Singh and then Prof.
Right, Chair. No, thank you very much. I agree with the amendments that have been proposed, but I have a problem with the location. I think we should, 26.1.1 should refer to everything to do with the public protector's report, and we conclude it whatever we further noted, and 26.1.2 should then refer to ICASA, the finding on ICASA. At the moment, we are just convoluting the two separate points, and then we, with the same content. Thank you.
Prof?
Chairperson, I was on that one. I thought the second sentence was somehow misplaced.
All right, anything else on 26? None. 27, and as things stand, we've got 3 points on 27. So as you speak to 3 points. 27, 1-1, 1-2, and 1-3.
The last sentence there, management's contempt for Parliament and the parliamentary process, I would suggest, and then a comma, is noted with extreme concern. We actually had that is noted with extreme concern in the previous version of the document. And given what we're talking about, I think it's warranted that we keep it in. You know, the committee further notes that the minister's failure to take action in response to the former board's chairperson and the SABC's senior management's contempt for Parliament and the parliamentary process is noted with extreme concern. Because it's a gross violation. Thank you.
Chair, you know, it's good that we have lawyers here. I'm referring to Honorable Swati, might actually be able to assist. You know, under the close paragraph 27.1.1, I actually want us to capture the fact that the SABC did not only try to, you know, to charge the inquiry, but even when it responded, it kept on casting aspersions on this very process. It's not that they only ended there, and I think it's very important because their arrogance did not just end during that time, but even when they are responding, even they telling us, you know, you relied on oral evidence or whatever. Thank you. No, I've seen U13, but I'm talking more about the actual process. Remember 27.1.3 speaks about witnesses. We are talking here about the actual process of this committee.
No, Chair, I think we need to reinforce that part. Firstly, I want to deal with the issue of senior, maybe we put consistent with what they've been doing, senior managers and the executive, because the executive is the one that is accountable. So we changed senior to executive.
Where is
that? Same paragraph at the bottom. The board chairperson and SABC senior. I'm saying that we put executive.
Yeah.
The point obvious is that that's fine.
Chair, there's one note I wanted to include here on the very first line of 27.11, where we talk about the culmination, and I think we should start by putting the issue of the court challenge, either interdict or court challenge, whatever we want to call it, before even the walkout, because I think that's what the pinnacle of the culmination of their attempts to.
Chair, I wanted to refer to the efforts by the SABC to get an interdict to stop our process.
No, two things, Chair. I would add, I know the paragraph is already long, but I would also add that in addition, it must be noted that the current acting GCEO was part of a press conference announcing when they said they don't recognize Parliament.
That's the walkout.
No, they then went ahead and had a press conference.
They
said yeah.
Walkout,
yeah. Yeah, it's important. Or is it? Yes, and call it a time record. So, yeah, but I think it's important that we must mention that the current GCEO, the acting GCEO, was part of that thing. We must mention him specifically because he affects the SABC's running going forward. Yeah. So that is one. Two, coup. I would also mention, as an addition to the entire thing, that the current GCEO then went against the tone of this inquiry and against questionnaires that were done here on the appointment of Mr. Motshwane. He then went and appealed that court case by himself in his personal capacity. Isn't it correct? No, because... No, because there was no board, Chair. Even the court then said that he must go and pay in his personal capacity.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying we must have our facts. And I'm sure that I read somewhere where it said it was an executive decision. Now, when you say in his personal capacity, I'm sure it said the executive took the decision.
No, 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 yeah, well, yeah, whatever, yeah.
Yeah, whichever, no, I whichever way. We must be
clear. I think just the sentiment is just that we need to say that against the sentiment of this inquiry.
We can say a further challenge
of
court.
A further challenge of court, yes, yeah.
Okay. Prof. Doc?
Chair, I thought maybe we could qualify that by specifying that as an accounting officer, you know, and also to mention that even that decision does not seem to have taken into account the financial and the reputational risk of the company, because he's an accounting officer. We wanted to hold him accountable as an accounting officer.
All right. Bear in mind that we must speak so that Cindy captures it as accurately as possible. We don't have too much spare time after this, but where we are not clear, we'll shout it. You just repeat it to us so that we capture it once. And are we still on accountability? The hands that I see. Yes, let's take Waters and then take Swart.
Chair, I wanted to propose a 27-14, if I may. It's very quick. The committee notes that in their written response, drafted by Mr. James Aguma, various misleading statements were made, which there were, and one I'd like to highlight is that they claim there was no MOI dated the 20th of September, when there was. So I think we need to put that in as well. That's my suggestion. To show, you know, a pattern, yeah.
Chair, we need to distinguish 27-1, which was drafted as SABC's response to the inquiry. That was their physical response of walking out. We now have their written response, which is separate. The way to deal with it, you can either say that's the initial response to the inquiry, where we deal with the walking out, the court cases, and the refusal to provide evidence, and then we deal with 27.1.3, which is the written response they've given. Or we can just say response, and we deal with it chronologically, and then maybe that's the easiest. As it is there, SABC's response to the inquiry, leave it as it is, 21.1 as amended, 21.12 as amended, but then, as Dr. Causa said, 27.1.3 would be a new section, and I just want to propose a wording that's just off the top of my head, and that would be the committee notes that in the written submission prepared by Mr. Magume, it casts serious aspersions against the whole approach of the committee, accusing it inter alia of bias, an adversarial tone, Motshwane bashing, and other criticism. That just captures what is in the introduction. Then one goes on to say what Mr. Water says, and it goes on to read 27.1.3. We need to deal with what their assertions are against us as a committee. And we need to then possibly also say the committee finds these allegations unfounded, because this is findings. So that would capture what Dr. Causa says. We need to put an introductory paragraph that deals with the approach of the SABC in both the way it dealt with the inquiry as well as its written response. We also mention in the report that we gave the SABC an opportunity to ask questions after every witness. That's also in the report. So, but I'd just like to hear your view in principle on that approach, and then I can give the word to Cindy.
I'm looking at members. No members are violently opposed to it. No, not even opposed to it. No, it's fine. So if, you can forward that to us. And we'll certainly try to capture it, because you'll compare what you've just suggested. You want to say something, Chauke, Honorable?
Maybe in the report, Honorable Swaro proposed that we note in the report of Akuma, I think we have to, again, be consistent. I'll take it that is the executive of the SABC, that side. Is the executive of the SABC that submitted the report signed by Akuma. It's not one as individual, but it's the executive that submitted the report, the response of the SABC. Yeah. I'm saying that, Swart was saying that we note the report of Akuma. I'm saying that we must expand it. Rather than saying Akuma, we say the executive of SABC, signed by Akuma.
On behalf of?
Akuma is the acting group chief executive, and he's the accounting officer, so it covers this aspect. He takes the responsibility as an accounting officer of anything that happens there.
All right. Why did we have 28 in there? Do we need 28 in there? 28. We just put it in because remember you guys gave us a one-pager. Without taking a value judgment, we just put the one page into the document. I'm just asking the question. Well, I mean, what's magical about that one? Honorable Lelio?
Thanks, Chair. Chair, to me, is not adding value, so we can live without it.
Agreed? Let's take. Yeah, okay, you start Water, then we'll go to Mukwena. Anybody else? On point 28. There's only one point on 28, and we're just asking the question, what value is it adding?
Well, Chair, it highlights the fact that there was an erosion of, a gradual erosion of editorial independence and expectation of self-censorship at the SABC. And that's the 28, eh? Am I on the right? I'm looking at yesterday's. I'm looking between the two documents. Sorry, Chair. All right. Because I made notes on the last month's one, if you remember. Okay.
Yeah, Chair. I think. Yes, I would have commented on the nature of the evidence that was given by Dr. Ngubane to this inquiry, because much of it was unreliable. My worry is that is it central to the mandate that we have here, and that's the only thing. Apart from the fact that, you know, this is a civil servant who, yeah, no, that's right. There's no problem. I'll argue it in Parliament.
Yeah, do that. Because Yeah. So the agreement is we take out 28. Thank you so much. The 29 on page 75.
I would like to suggest that the only amendment we make is to the last component of that paragraph, and that we refer as follows: the board had therefore failed in its responsibility to ensure the SABC's compliance with the provisions of the Broadcasting Charter, which has undoubtedly contributed to the SAB's loss of revenue and declining, I don't know what you call it, listenership, but there's also a viewership. So do you say declining client base to capture both? The point that I'm just making is that we've got a declining revenue, loss of revenue, but also declining client base, which has consequences in its on its own. But the reference, I'm just changing a little bit with regards to the board broadcasting charter, because that is a very important component. It's one of the specific responsibilities of a board is to uphold the broadcasting charter, which includes news independence and all of that.
Can somebody remind me what sort of evidence do we have on the listenership? I understand the SABC's loss of revenue, but the listenership, what sort of viewership, what sort of evidence do we have to that effect? Because I'm not sure if there was something that was presented to the committee that speaks to the evidence in as far as that particular aspect. Remember, we have to make sure that our report as well is credible. We mustn't invent things that we are doing. We mustn't be speculating.
Thank you, Chair. The question I would ask is we received evidence on loss of revenue and declining client base, for want of a better word, I'll say client base. But that wasn't caused by editorial independence. That was caused by the revised, in the main, the revised local content policy. That's what led to it, not the editorial independence. And then I don't see the need for the second sentence on page 75. The SABC employs a core of highly experienced, highly qualified and dedicated journalists. I don't see how that fits into the kind of observation we're trying to make. The observation we're trying to make was that journalistic ethics was compromised. Then there was a gradual erosion of editorial independence and expectation of self-censorship. Then we also got to make the point about the revised content policy, local content policy, which led to loss of revenue and decline in listenership. So I think we've got to bring that aspect. Thank you.
No, Chair, just to point out that the SABC 8 did allude to the SAFM, I think, where a program was canned completely. The editor had said to them that they must can that because of some political or whatever issues. So I think there is there's a case to be made about, and they did say that they lost listenership because of that decision, and that was just an example. They were making an example of it was a microcosm of a much bigger problem. Thanks.
Chair, as a middle way, because to me, we had the SABC 8 that gave us that oral evidence. My main concern is that I'm just saying, probably instead of putting the loss of revenue is something that we can also prove, because you can prove it. But maybe when it comes to the listenership, maybe we may say contributed to SABC's loss of revenue and may have also led to the decline of, to a decline in listenership and viewership or whatever the word, or client base or something like that, may have, because we don't have empirical evidence. In other words, we're taking what the SABC 8 said, and obviously they have, whoever that is going to be taking this process forward will then have to take, you know, assess, you know, to what extent did they lose the listenership, because obviously the revenue is a sufficient indicator to suggest that they may have lost the listenership as well. But we don't have sufficient evidence in that regard.
Yeah, just to confirm what the Honourable Khoza is saying, I have a document here for what it's worth. He's saying partly to blame is Motseneng's unilateral implementation of a 90% local television quota, which has hit the broadcaster hard. Figures show that the resultant new schedules had an almost immediate effect, with profits on SABC 3 down by almost 35% in July 2016 after implementation and continuing to slide. SABC insiders say that in October 2016, SABC 3, historically a big money spinner for the broadcaster, posted a loss for the first time, with the channel meeting only 50% of its advertising quotas. Audience share is dropping month by month on both SABC 2 and SABC 3, according to insiders. So I think that just confirms what you're trying to say. But it's not only related to the program content and quota, but it's related to other issues.
Chair, just briefly, I want to support Honourable Singh and Honourable Dr. Khoza. So, to do with that last sentences where it starts with the board has therefore failed in its responsibility to ensure that the SABC's compliance with the standards set out in the broadcasting charter. Right? Full stop. So we that's one issue. And then another sentence, in addition, the 90-10 editorial policy has undoubtedly contributed to the SABC's loss of revenue, and then what Dr. Khoza talked about, and possible declining viewership and listenership. Did you get that? Okay. All right, thanks.
Honourable members, that deals with journalistic ethics. Is there any other additions in journalistic ethics?
I just wanted to make sure that we are now removing the, because Honourable Waters repeated standards, and I was suggesting that we go with provisions of the broadcasting charter.
All right. The last one was parliamentary oversight. So you're all guilty as charged?
Yes.
All of you?
Yes.
All right. Okay. No, we know your view, yes, yeah. Yeah, we know your view. All right, any additions to that? any other additions? Other additions? Is that it now as far as finding stroke observations are concerned? And, there's the MOI, I beg your pardon. Yeah, when we get to the MOI, Honourable Swartz, just apply your mind. Honourable Swartz? No, I'm just saying, just apply your mind. I think it was before you came in. We were debating whether we called it findings or observations. Later you'll tell us, that heading. Okay, we have some debate, and I'm asking you because you seem to be our expert in that regard. Before we left, we had asked Mokoena, the Honourable, to try and craft an observation around this debate that we've had for the better part of 2 days. I'm assuming members have had it and have had a look at it. I don't think Mokoena should talk to it. You'll be the last after members have commented if they want to, sir, unless members want Mokoena to talk to it. Okay, then go ahead and explain. We'll open it up for members, and then we'll take it from there. Sir?
No, I just thought, sir, Chair, that we should have a section that just deals with the paperwork but this is paperwork that lies within the jurisdiction of the minister. It's the MOI, it's the directorship. Obviously, we can change it and whatever. But these are the sentiments. And then I think it's also important that we must look at the current MOI and how it affected the SABC. So we must not neglect that. And this is the reason why I then said we should have 23.2. And that must speak specifically to the current MOI as it stands. Because we must examine it. It's going to be key in how we judge what happened at the SABC. Thanks, John. No, 23.1.1 is as in the original document now. I'm suggesting that 23.1.1, 0.1.2, 0.1.3 remain, but they become 23.2.1, 23.2.2, and 23.2.3. And any other additions that we may discuss going further now.
Yeah, I guess the point I'm making, if you read that last sentence, it seems to stop halfway. Made the following observations on the minister's MOI amendments, and it doesn't... Who's going to make those observations?
No, the observations are, if you look on page 70.
On page 70? Just say it slowly so that somebody captures it. On page 70 of our document?
Yes, of our document.
Right.
On page 70, on 23.1.1.
Oh, I see.
So those ones remain. 23.1.1, 23.1. So there's no change to the document thing.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
All right. So members have followed. As long as members have followed the explanation, we'll then open it up for discussion. If they are, we'll start with the Honourable Khoza. We will then go to Honourable Killian. Honourable...
First of all, Chair, let me confirm.
Hold on. Khoza, Killian, Singh, Chauke, did you want to speak, sir? Yes. And everybody wants to speak, all right. Then let's start here. Chauke, right? No, but it's going to be 3 minutes.
Yes.
It's going to be 3 minutes. We'll just go this way here. Please put your mic off.
Are we entertaining Mokoena's?
No, we're debating it.
Okay. Chair. I'm not necessarily opposed to his suggestion on 23.1.1 from where it starts an inquiry into the CIPC revealed questionable enrollment of Otmuts Temotsoneng, but we must add the as directors. But I think that first part, the shareholder failed to administer SAPC founding documents effectively, to me, it's just very vague. I don't think we need that. Because she's not responsible for managing documents. So I'm saying it's unnecessary. Let's rather start from where it starts, an inquiry into the CIPC revealed questionable enrollment of both Mr. Mutsoning and Ms. Gedenay in 2011 and 2012, respectively, as directors of the SAB, when there appears to be no plausible explanation for this action.
anything else from your side? You have one guy.
I was going to suggest, Chair, rather than using the word at the 3.12 fail, and we use did not register, because the fact is that, should not register the amendment, rather than fail to register. I thought we used the word did not register. The change failed to did not register. I think it's 1 and 2.
So it is indicating that 2312, Honourable Mukwena, is not in 2015, it's 2014. You see that first sentence of yours that says MOI in 2015, it should be 2014. But you'll come back and after all comments. You'll just note what honourable members are suggesting. And then, Chauke, one man, one bite. Yeah?
The honourable Mukwena proposed that we remain with a 2312. I want to propose that we remove the word that 2312, irregular amendment, to put attempt to amend. We use the word attempt to amend than irregular amendment. Because that was not amended, it was an attempt. Because if it was amended, it would have been launched with a CIPRO there.
Okay. Any other comments?
Chair,
I'm looking at the documents submitted by Honorable Mukwena. I am not sure when I look at the submission. It is just another way of stating what is already here. So when he goes further to say we retain the bullets that we have, is creating a bit of confusion. And also we remain as people that are conducting an inquisitorial investigation, if I can put it that way. So when we start by saying the shareholder failed, the minister failed, for me, we are not there as yet. We are just outlining our observation. We are not saying we conclude the following from our observation. So that's why I said, if to me he can indicate what was his take in what we proposed there, because we said for the MOI to say which one is authentic, remember the decision which was put forward was to say 223.1.4 states or levels the ground, so that nobody is confused on an active MOI. The use of a document that has not been submitted to CIPRO, to me, it is the irregular amendment. I need further convincing, Chair, for me to buy in into this and to believe that they mean something different from what is captured here. It's just a matter of semantics. Otherwise, I think we are saying the same thing. Thanks.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Can I just suggest that I agree with Honourable Khoza that it's not the Minister's responsibility to administer the founding documents. I would suggest that we remove that first introductory sentence and that we actually, since we have moved 2.1.4 up, we just put this next sentence, a further scanning of the CIPC documents revealed the questionable enrollment of both Mr. Mutswening and Ms. Geldnys in 2012 and 2012 respectively, when there is no plausible explanation for this, so that we capture that as part of the CIPC documentation. Then I think as far as the second paragraph is concerned, we must just stick to what is really the essence of it, that the minister didn't, contrary to what the minister said, it appears that we have not found evidence, and I think we've already captured it there. And then the last one, I would argue that one is important, and that is that the minister, again, the minister and the SABC board allowed a delegation of authority framework based on an invalid MOI to be the regulatory platform of the SABC. I think that is very important that we keep that. This rendered almost the entire operations of the SABC legally questionable. I would support that we maintain that. But I don't think it is not the shareholders' responsibility to administer documents. According to the MOI and according to the Companies Act, that is clearly the responsibility of the corporation. Thank you, Chair.
I thought you were responding. Thank you, Chair. As far as paragraph 2312 of Honourable Mukwena's document is concerned, where we say the Minister failed or did not register the amendments to the MOI, we have proof of that. We've asked for the proof. There's been, for any proof of the MOI being submitted, and it hasn't been forthcoming by the Minister or the SABC, so she hasn't done that. And the next sentence is, it must be noted that the Minister made a written submission that such was registered, which is true and factual, and that is in 912 in our document, right? The other issue is not factored in, and I'm looking for guidance, Chair, where it would be suited, and that is the fact that the Minister states that she took it to the board and there was no objections to it. Meanwhile, the minutes prove otherwise. That's got to come in still. 2313, that paragraph, I fully support that it must stay in as is. The DAF is vitally important to show how the invalid MOI was used to abuse the system. Then there's one other issue, Chair, and I'm also, it's got to do with the working documents. Now, I don't know if this is correct. I was hoping to get the original working document, right? Where I raised it yesterday, in paragraph 12.2, it says, during the testimony, the Minister denied that she had signed the MOI. Now, if that's the case, if she did say that, and I think we need to look at the transcripts again, right, to verify, because if she hasn't said it, obviously it mustn't go in. But it's in this document. The working document, it's the very first one we had, right? The fact is, if she did say that in a testimony, and yet contradicted herself by saying she submitted this MOI to the relevant authorities, then that's another contradiction. Okay. And if that's the case, it's got to go in here somewhere, please. I don't know.
A couple of things. Firstly, I'm not too convinced on the headings, administration of SABC founding documents and then weaknesses, because I think the issues are correct. One refers to the directorships, the one statement refers to directorships, and the other, I think the content of everything else refers to the MOI. So I'm just putting that before us about, whether it should be directorships and MOI. As far as the directorships are concerned, as I might call it, point one, I agree with Honourable Causa's submission there, which I think you've captured. And then on the question of the MOI, I still feel that we should start with what we had in our document on 2314. We start there. Then we don't make a categoric statement that the Minister failed to register the amendments to the MOI as an opening line in the next paragraph. We should start with her evidence. During her evidence, the Minister insisted that the amendments were lodged with the CIPRO, with CIPRO. Right? Yeah, it's here, page 36. Yeah. I'm looking at page 36 here, during the evidence. That's what she said, during her evidence. During her evidence, the minister insisted that amendments to the MOI were effected in accordance with the Broadcasting Act and Companies Act. She stated that although legislation did not require her to do so, the ministry had consulted the board on the amendment as a courtesy before they were submitted to Companies and Intellectual Property Registration Office. She also briefed the portfolio committee. That's what she said. But the only evidence of that is this document here, which we've got to refer to. Document dated 12 March 2015, which I think in our view is a non-document. And I think we've got to state that. So what we are doing in effect is we're discrediting the assertion that this was lodged with CIPC. Right. And then thereafter, I agree with everything else that we've got here.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Jefferson. Let's thank one of Wena for his contribution. But I really have some doubts as to whether it brings any new information, my learned friend, where there's any. I think it somehow adds. It somehow adds to what we have. But the contribution is really welcome. For instance, Honorable Mukwena, you see administration of SABC founding documents. The Honorable Khoza stated quite succinctly that that is not the task of the minister to do that. And you have used the word enrollment, questionable enrollment. I doubt whether that is the right word or whether we should be using the word listing. The concept of plausible explanation, why plausible? Going further down, I've got a statement that says this renders the minister's MOI not enforceable. I don't think we're there yet. Further down, you use the concept regulatory platform. There would have been another word for that one, rather than platform. But the contribution is welcome, Honorable Mukwena. But I should think what we have here, we must have a way of trying to locate the stuff in what we have here. That's my contribution, Chairperson. I see colleagues. Congratulating my learned friend here, Gwen. I'm done.
You've got 3 minutes, if you want to add.
I align myself with the sentiments expressed by my colleagues. I think the document on the last paragraph that we've lifted up, if that is married with the last part of Mr. Mukwena's input, it would be fine. And then the second paragraph, I guess colleagues have already corrected as to how it should be crafted. And instead of registering, we use the word lodging with CIPC. And then the last paragraph that he's crafted, I think it's fair. The heading, obviously, I think colleagues have already expressed themselves, but I can't agree more. And the last, the 23.2, I think will not arise because already the one that we've listed in our own document, 23.14, covers that quite well. But I would want to say, Chair, I do not know whether we have somewhere reflected on the four MOIs, because we've got four, and I do not know as to who owns what, because I know that the first one is one which was lodged by Minister Karim, There's another one which the minister said was crafted by the her successor, I don't know whether it was Ule or whoever. And now we must not we must actually try and manage where we've used people's names, and we may use people for even unrelated matters. So we must just be very careful.
I thought the debate about the 4 was done because we started with 23.4. I thought it was done. We had said, look, let's not have this debate. Our position is the one. I'm not disputing, but I'm saying, I thought that's what we'd agreed upon even yesterday. So I don't want us to reopen it.
So
again.
It doesn't.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying that to Mukwena when he responded to us.
Because I'm worried when we allocate a lot of just saying, I'm raising the matter, Chair, because it does arise here. So, if we have to, then we have to go through that process. But I'm fine with what we have, without really going into the other breakdowns of whatever. Because we refer to something that we don't recognize, yet we said that we don't actually accept it, because it doesn't exist. But once we refer to it, then I think that's where we open ourselves up.
Chair, I think we need to get a draft because there's so many different versions now of amendments to Mr. McQueen's suggestion. So we need to get a draft because my concern is firstly in the first paragraph, that sentence, when there is no plausible explanation for this action. Now in all the evidence, this is a new, we haven't referred to this at all in any of the interim document about that. And firstly, the word enrollment should probably be appointment, the questionable appointment, respectively, as directors, when there is no plausible... Well, we've never raised this issue before. So we would need to obliquely maybe say there, as there does not appear to be an acceptable explanation. But we haven't dealt with that at all anywhere. So we're raising a new issue there. The next paragraph I'm happy with, subject to what other members have said about the repeating about Minister Karim. The last sentence, this renders Minister Mutami's not enforceable, I'd say not legally enforceable. The next paragraph where it says illegal, I would just say it is based on an unenforceable, legally unenforceable, or invalid is even better, and then this. Now, the last sentence is huge because it says this rendered almost the entire operation legally questionable. So, and it's again taking a strong stance, but the implications of that statement, maybe one needs to just downtone it. This appears to render almost the entire decision-making of the SABC legally questionable, because again, do we really want every decision of the SABC to be contested by, in court? That might be the implications, but are we 100% sure of our facts? So, and then when we deal with 23.1.1, those the reference there to the MOI must then be to a specific, the MOI dated as it stands, purports to empower the minister. Now we're dealing with the illegal MOI. We can't just leave the wording as it is in 23.1.1. Again, the irregular, and I think Mr. Chalke earlier said the attempted amendment of the MOI dated so-and-so. So we need to tie it up. It's very complex because, I mean, Chair, you must be struggling, I'm sure, Cindy's, because there's so many suggested changes. We need to get a version that we can look at again, I think. I think Mr. McQueen has done very well in giving us a working draft on something we've been struggling with. But maybe we should just stop for 5 minutes and just get a version that we can all look at, because you've got so many different versions. Thank you, Chair.
I've never been so challenged before. I really have never been so challenged before because you know, honourable members, and let me speak for myself. What I would want to see come out of this whole debacle is the regularization, ratification, whatever you want to call it, around the MOI. At the end of the day, that's what we want to see. So in my own head, my recommendation is going to be whoever the authority is must look at this whole debacle and sort it out. Now, we are cracking our heads about all these other things, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just trying to find a deadlock-breaking mechanism. I hear what everybody else is saying. Would it not suffice if we say that in our observations this thing created all sorts of complications and potential, whatever the case might be, in our observations, that we'll find a way. And then in our recommendations we say the board or whoever the authority is must speedily sort this thing out. Because I think we've had about 5 versions of what we want to put in and take out of this thing, and we're never going to reach the end of it. We're just not going to reach the end of it at this committee level. Because we're all speaking the same language. We're saying this thing has been a mess. We're all saying the same thing is going to be a mess. It's about emphasis, I think, that we're arguing about. So my firm recommendation is let's find a way of saying our observations show in no uncertain terms that the entire management of the MOI has created serious. Because remember, our mandate is to take the SABC from where it is now to a better place, as opposed to pointing a finger as to who did wrong and who did right. And I'm just talking on this one. So I'm saying in my own head, at the end of the day, I'm going to argue that we must say that whoever it is, I haven't even thought about who it is, must deal with this thing as soon as possible. Like we said with the amendment of the Public Broadcasting Act, we just said whoever it is, make sure it covers these things. I honestly, on members, and this I'm saying with total transparency, there's no ulterior motives on this one. Can we, because I'm now really at a point, honourable members, where it can't carry on. This one can't carry on the MOI. And I'm just saying that we've identified it as a problem. It has serious ramifications. Mr. or Mrs. X, whoever they are going forward, look at this thing as a matter of urgency. Because I see, at least here now, besides what we put in, 2 other documents. 2 other documents talking about, all of us saying the same thing. We're not disputing what we are saying. How do we marry these documents, or do we vote line for line? I'm seeking your guidance. Because all of us are saying, and it's not one minister, this thing has historic links. And for us to take the SABC to where we want to take it to, let's recognize that it was a problem historically. We recognize the one that is, or we can prove that the only one that's registered is the Karim one, with all its weaknesses, and we're looking forward to the new interim board fixing it up. I'm just trying to get there because even now when we were debating, everybody was challenging everything else, and Mokoena, it's unfair for him to have done this in 5 minutes. I don't know, I'm just asking for guidance on this one. But we really are stuck. Otherwise, we must can it and look at it again tomorrow. I'm just scared that it's from 8 o'clock. This is where we are. And we're dealing with one matter that I think we're overcomplicating. But let's listen to Mokoena.
No, Chair, I agree with you 100%. I agree with you 100%. And I agree with the changes that everybody is suggesting. Because I think they're quite valuable. But let me go through the changes as they are suggested. One, I do think that it is the responsibility of the shareholder to make sure that the documents of the company are in order. You can't run a company and the director the director there is a criminal, somebody who's going to put the company in jeopardy and so on and so forth. It is the responsibility, but I am not hard and fast on it. If you want to take out the issue about the shareholder failed to administer founding documents of the SAPC, you want to take that out, that is fine, because the heading will speak to it. And I agree that that we should rather say that an inquiry into the CIPC revealed questionable what was the word? I think it was appointment of both Mr. Motsweneng and Mr. Keldenase as directors. I agree with Makosi then. Respectively, when there appears to be, I agree with that, no plausible explanation for this action. I agree with that 100%. Yes. So we can cut out that first sentence, and then we can clean up those other ones, right? I do agree that. Okay, so we didn't seem to have a problem with the second one, I think. Well, I don't know what the problem is there. Again, I'm not too hard and fast on it. But I don't know what the problem is, because the fact is she failed. My point, Chair, is that she did fail to register. If she passed to register it, we would have evidence that it's there. It's not registered. Therefore, she failed to register it. It's a fact. We can't change that. So if you want to look for another a synonym of failed, that's fine. But she did fail. Right?
Hold on.
Yes?
So then you'll come back to this. I think it was all worked over on the subject. I mean,
that's fine.
We were clear on the first paragraph. The second paragraph probably is not under the second. Let's kill the second paragraph. So the reason the second paragraph has to do with the second
paragraph. No, the only changes I had on that one that I heard were the 2014 is correct, yes. And it must be noted that the minister has written a submission. That is also fine. In fact, can I recommend a change to the sentence? I would add in that sentence, so it would read, the minister failed to register the amendments to the MOI in 2014. It must be noted that the minister made a written submission that such was registered, but according to CIPC reg, so we add a but. However, according to CIPC records, the last MOI to be registered was in 2013 by Minister Karim. This renders Minister Mutambi's MOI not enforceable. Or not legally enforceable, that was the correction. Right?
I don't know how to handle this, but I'm worried about us trying to manipulate evidence to drive us to a particular direction. And I just want you to hear me out what I have written. Whether you agree with it, if you don't agree with it, check it out, it's fine. But I'm saying, the committee found that there were at least four MOIs. However, only one was found to be registered with CIPC, dated March 2014. Full stop, notwithstanding the above, even the registered one appeared to have sections that contradict the provisions of the Broadcasting Act. That way, this leads us to the recommendation later on, where we are saying this issue of the MOI must be sorted out. Because you are therefore killing all the other unnecessary detail. Because we are now trying to manipulate evidence. And I don't think it's the intention of this.
Chair, we'll have to leave for about 2 hours on Saturday afternoon to go to Honourable Van Damme's wedding, but that's about it. Okay. In relation to paragraph 2312 of Honourable McQuinn's document, I don't think anyone is trying to manipulate evidence. There's clear evidence, undisputed evidence, that the minister, and it's in our documents, and I refer you once again to paragraph 912, page 36 of our document. Yeah, not yesterday's one, today's one. I've put that one to one side now. Right? And I will repeat, I'm going to read it out again. Right? During her evidence, the minister insisted that amendments to the MOI were effected in accordance with both the Broadcasting Act and the Companies Act. She stated that although legislation did not require her to do so, the Ministry had consulted the Board on the amendments as a courtesy before they were submitted to the Companies and Intellectual Property Registration Office, CIPRA. Right? Now, she never did that. So, right. In addition to that, we've got evidence from CIPRA itself that the last time anyone had submitted anything was Minister Karim, right? And it's also backed up by these two documents, CR 14.3 and CR 59. And then in addition to the document we got today, that this one, which none of us believe is actually authentic, right? So the minister failed. She did not submit the MOI like she claims she has in her testimony. So what Honourable McQuenna's sentence is saying is that she failed to register it or submit it or whatever, or lodge it, whatever anybody wants to say. But it doesn't change the fact that she failed to do it.
No.
So I don't think anyone is trying to manipulate the evidence yet. Alright.
No, I'm accepting that. I think we're getting stuck. And I don't have a position one way. Some people, and I don't know where Mr. Swartz, I'm sorry, is out. We seem to be stuck by this word failed or have no evidence before us or whatever. Members feel strongly that this is, and the evidence is there. We're not disputing the broader context. It's about how you're putting it, I think, is what we argue. Now, that's what but just on this one, eh? All right. Do you want to? No, but then you're going to open up another debate. Let's deal with this one first. Let's start here then. Oh, let's take, you'll be number one, Prof. Yes, sir. Number one, Prof. Yes. Just sit that on the trophy.
Chair.
Yes, and you'll be number two, Doc.
Chair, on this particular issue, we have spent a lot of time giving facts that correlate. And if we listen to one another here, you find that information we give could be sometimes a matter of semantics, but we are saying one and the same thing differently. I was of the opinion that the Honorable Dr. Khoza is trying to simplify what is before us. Because anyone reading the document should get facts, but in a simple way. So what Honorable Mngwenya gave us is relevant, but we should put it in a simplistic way so that everybody would be able to understand it. That's my take, Chair. Otherwise, we'll circumlocate one and the same thing till morning.
I just wanted to come up with a compromise position, if members, if they can listen carefully, because I want to, to improve on what I said earlier on. I think probably we can say the committee found that there were at least four MOIs. However, only one was found to be registered with CIPSC, dated March 2014, during Eunice Karim's tenure. Full stop. Notwithstanding the above, even the registered one appeared to have sections that contradict the provisions of the Broadcasting Act. Then, full stop. Furthermore, the inquiry into the CIPC revealed questionable enrollment of both Mr. Motsone and Miss Geldenhuis in 2011 and 2012, respectively, as director, which appear to be grossly irregular. Then the next one, full stop. Then we say, the minister Mutambi, Faith Mutambi, failed to register the amendment. I mean, the minister Mutambi, one of these other MOIs, because we've already said there was one that belonged to Karim, but we are now speaking specifically about Mutambi, failed to register the amendments to the MOI by 2015. And that it must be noted that the minister made a written submission that such MOI was registered. According to CIPC records, the last MOI was registered in 2013, or whatever, was registered in 2014, because you've already said that it was during Eunice Karim's tenure. And to me, I think that we've captured the essence of the key issues, because to me, the key issues that seem to be contested to me is that, one, we wanted to be explicit about, if I hear you correctly, is that the Minister Mutambi did not register the amendments to that MOI of Eunice Karim. And two, we also wanted to put forward the information about the enrollment of both Mr. Motswaneng and Geldenhuis as directors. I think we wanted that to be there because we see that as being grossly irregular, if owing to the times in which they were appointed and whatnot and so forth, and their capacities and so forth. So, Chair, I was trying to cover those key aspects that we were contested, and I'm hoping that maybe this assists us in getting out of this challenge.
So, Chair, primarily what Dr. Kova is suggesting is that we keep the document as is, but add, and I agree with her, that the MOI as it stands now, as it is now, contradicts the Broadcasting Act. That's exactly what she's saying. So that's the only addition that she's made to this thing. So which would then, my only contention is that the third point, 2313, speaks to the delegation of authority framework, which is the document that ran the entire SABC. And this is the source of all the problems that we saw there at the SABC. So I would strongly contend, but if I'm defeated by the numbers, I will think, but I strongly believe that we need to keep the sentiment in there. Yeah. But I agree 100% with everything that Dr. Khoza has said, without any conditions.
Okay, I
I thought that 2113 is we were almost there. I think we just took out illegal to invalid or questionable, and then somebody spoke about the very last sentence. But I thought we were almost there.
And then the last one was...
No, I'm just talking before that one.
The last sentence in that one.
Oh, you're talking about the last sentence in that one,
The last sentence, which...
The one that starts with this.
Renders, Ms. Mtambi's thinking invalid, not...
Okay.
This renders Minister Mtambi's MOI invalid.
And you take out this renders almost the entire position, right? I'm talking about
2313. Oh. No, I was just changing the last two words.
I was reading the wrong one.
In 23.1.2. The last...
We're taking what Dr. Kosa said?
No, yeah. Oh, wait, what?
We're taking the proposal that Dr. Kosa made.
Yes, on the broadcast.
Yes. For 23.1.2.
That is correct. The addition that the... It was... Not in line with the broadcast.
Yes. You've got that in there, Dr. Kosa. In your one, you've had that one.
Yeah, we need that addition. The one that you mentioned about the current MOI is it contradicts the Broadcasting Act anyway. Yes, I agree with that.
I'm saying maybe what we can say. You know, your 23.1.3, we needed to say, possibly, the unregistered MOI, then in brackets, Minister F. Mutami, appears to be at the core of the many related governance problems, including the delegation of authority framework document.
That's right.
Is that okay? And so I'm saying, I was just saying, that way if we specify that the unregistered, in other words, and we put in brackets.
I agree.
You can have a second by tomorrow anyway.
Using all the other wording that you have
there. Let's please write it so that we capture it. We'll have another by then tomorrow. I am not opening it up again. You'll have another bite tomorrow, Honourable. All these pieces of paper that we have here, tear them up, throw them, we'll have a debate on that one tomorrow. It's sort of confusing.
I think your point, the point that you raised, is proper. I think we must add, as an addition, when you do your thing, to say that the MOI has caused all kinds of problems. I think we need to say that. Yeah.
We can add that. Because ultimately it's about getting us to a better place. All right, honourable members. I'm looking at you know we fought with our support staff because transport wasn't on time and we had to wait, and they need 2 hours notice. It's 10 now. I'm hoping that the next session doesn't go too long. What time do we tell them to be here? Because if we don't give them 2 hours notice, they're not here. I'm talking about the transport. 12:15. Looking at, you shaking your head. We told you that yesterday. Siyalala siyavukana. I'm looking at, where is Baba Sutu? No, that's the absolute worst, I'm saying. I don't think it'll be that long. We've had such a big debate now. Recommendations should really be smooth sailing in the main. Because people already will start walking out and coming back. Yes, sir.
It's on the MRI. Support all the recommendations, but the other points are raised. Are they going to be in somehow?
No, that's what I was asking. We can. I'm saying at least we'll have the framework.
We'll get it tomorrow.
Yeah, I think your point where it says Minister, in her input, says she has done it, and she hasn't proved it. That's one that might not be there, but we can add that one.
And then no disagreement. The board agreed with it.
I'm saying even if it's in Doctor, that one, there was no disagreement with those because we've got evidence to that effect.
Okay, no, just checking. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah. No, I think that's valid. Let's bed that one down and we'll add the one or two. Is that okay, Honourable Members?
Yeah, that's fine.
You really want to say something, yes, ma'am? But
Hold on,
before you speak. What I'm saying is, you're just going to make a comment. You're not even going to respond to it because the document is going to come tomorrow. We're really talking from the dark now. We'll hear you and we'll hear you on that matter and we'll take it from there. Right.
President, what I just wanted to say is we devote a lot of time about what went wrong with the lodging, etc. But we do not take from the documents at our disposal the critical matters that are actually our concerns and which supports our notion that the minister's intervention in the MOI was to strengthen her interventionist role. Now, we can shorten the comment, but all I did, and that is the document that was submitted, was just to give the background. It's too long, but it's just the factual base that we can consider one paragraph tomorrow. Thank you, Chair.
I was going to do the new process. I'm done with that.
Are you on to the side? Okay. Cindy's asking because she needs to sit this side and charge her phone. Can it be a laptop? And it's closer than that. Just 5 minutes so that we shift around. 5 minutes break and then we come and deal with recommendations.